Hello, hello, welcome to another episode of the Keith Wilber Radio Show. And this one, I'm bringing on somebody I've worked with a couple of times. He's designed the covers for my two most recent books. I absolutely love the way he works. And I wanted to find out a little bit more about the man himself, where he came from, how he does what he does, and why what he does is so important for brands and for businesses and for companies and identity. So that's what we're going to look at.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, 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 hello. Thank you for another episode. This episode, my guest is a fantastic creative designer. It's a gentleman called Simon Clements. Let's bring Simon in and we'll hear his bio and then we will have a chat with Simon. So, Simon is known as the identity architect, and he helps his clients to develop the way that they present themselves to the world, whether that's in print, online, or through their own overall brand presence. Simon has become the go-to for many who want to truly find their business meaning and to present to their audience. That he's also my cover designer. That is my guest today, Simon. Hey, Simon, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Keith? Thank you for having me. Yeah, wonderful intro. I think that's pretty much it, really. So we're calling it here, yeah?
There we go. So catch you on this. Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, we've heard your bio, and a great bio it is. Too, but ask, who is Simon? Who's the man behind the bio?
Well, yeah, as Keith rather lovingly says, my name is Simon Clements. I am a creative designer and identity architect. Now, identity architect, you're probably thinking, what is that all about? It's all about working with your brand and getting to those foundation levels and determining who you are and what you do and how you serve your clients and the world. So yeah, I say I'm 40 years old now. I am a husband and a dad to my little boy, Harry, who is absolutely apple of my eye, is my world. And I've been doing creative things since very early, and it's going to show me my age now, because I studied a high national diploma in graphic design and advertising at college. Did that for 2 years, and after doing my final presentation, which actually developed my own sportswear brand, don't think I've actually said that on the podcast before, there you go, it's an exclusive, I was approached by someone who attended the exhibition from Cadbury Treble Bassett in Birmingham, and they offered me a freelance position, initially a two-week trial, to work in their in-house studio, and I obviously accepted. It was a wonderful opportunity for me to gather some experience at a worldwide known brand, and after 1 week they decided they'd seen enough and they wanted to take me on. So I worked there for 4.5 years, and then due to poor health I had to make a very difficult decision, because the commute and doctor's appointments etc. were putting a strain on me being able to show up how I wanted to show up. So I took the big step to go on my own. That was in 2007. So I've been a freelancer and a limited company thereafter. Since then, offering brand identity solutions. That's very much from the first half of my business, and determining, as I say, who my clients are, what they do, getting them to know their business better, which is really kind of, people think they're coming to me and I'm going to, you know, tell them all the ways to get move forwards. And obviously I do help with that, but obviously I find it something they need to install into themselves. They need to understand their why, their how they do things, you know, the why, what, how, where. So I help them along the way with that. And then obviously the second part of my business, which is linked, is the expansion of the brand. Once they've got that initial identity and the visual presence and how they're going to show up, it's all about all the different marketing methods and channels that they want to use. Obviously, it needs to be applicable to them, and the best way to maximise their impact through those channels. As I say, it's a broad spectrum that I work through, but that aids the one thing which is one of the key points with any creativity, and that's consistency.
Got it. Got it. No, so it's not. It's an interesting journey that you had. It's interesting to see just how long you've been doing this. By which I mean that the wealth of experience that you've got and the knowledge. And I mean, you must have seen some interesting design choices that have been made over the years.
Absolutely, and I think Cadbury was a very much, you know, as I said, the poor run of health actually did contribute to me leaving. But I'm always grateful for that opportunity they gave me, mainly because it gave me exposure to so many different areas of creativity. I worked primarily to start with in the point of sale department, so in-store merchandisers. I worked a little bit on promotional work. I worked on seasonal, so obviously, you know, your Easter, your Christmas, the Valentine's kind of promotions. So it gave me a real, I say eye-opener, I kind of knew what was coming anyway, but it gave me hands-on experience to all those, those different aspects, which have served me really well moving forward, because I've worked with, you know, larger companies, global companies, but I've also worked with small local companies. And the thing that I kind of like to project with my process, which obviously you've spoke about previously about how you enjoyed the working on the process, is that process is applicable to no matter what size the business is, because it's all about getting that identity right and making sure that you are showing that and sharing that with your audience.
Yeah. Sorry, I had a message come up on my screen there. Most disconcerting. So, I mean, having a brand identity and so on, I mean, I know a lot of people think, oh, I can just go on to Canva, other platforms are available, pop a few colours, pick a couple of fonts that I like and some colours that I like, and away I go. I'm assuming there's a lot more to it than just that. Tell us a little bit about why there's more to it.
Absolutely. Well, I wondered how long it would be till the Canva word came up. people do say to me, they say, oh, you must really hate Canva. I've seen people saying it's destroying the creative industry, but it really isn't. And I always look at stuff with an open mind. Canva is an amazing tool to give business owners enhanced creativity, to produce things like social media graphics, even documents. And, you know, I've seen people do their book covers. Like, I know I've worked on yours recently, not in Canva, but, you know, and it gives people this really flexible tool to allow them to be creative and create some of the assets they need to. I think the issue is that you need to realise that there's a line where someone like myself can come in and help take you further forward with it. As you say, the very core of a brand identity is the colours you use, the fonts you use, you know, this your logo, because that is going to be the first port of call that people are going to see when they fall upon your product or service. But if you're getting one on the cheap, it's one of those industries that you really do get what you pay for, because at the level where you could just literally grab some together, especially if you're doing it yourself, that's one of the biggest hurdles that I find people hit. They don't get over it, because if you're planning to design how you want to do, what you like, that's great, because that's a major part of any brand development. But at the same time, you're not thinking about your audience, you're not thinking about the maximum potential of your brand and your visuals can create. So in short, the thing with me and other experts out there was they bring a level of thinking, a level of, like you say, experience of exposure with different brands and how they can take their products and their messaging to a wider market. And I think, as I say, a logo, colours and fonts, they're all very important. But if you need that kind of knowledge to know what works together, what the colours, for example, say to people, the psychology behind it. So there's a big process behind it. And there's also the way I work with my identity clients is after we've done the foundation work of how people tick, and I ask them, basically ask them questions, and sometimes people can answer them quickly, sometimes it gives them a bit of a thinking moment, which is really good, and that's what we want. But once we get onto the actual identity side of things and the visual side of things, I think I work in a way that drafts, we just basically brainstorm and we look at ways things can work. You want something, you want to hit a balance between being, some people go very stereotypical. The problem is with that, and this is what you often get with the cheaper options, is that everyone has that. And the idea of an identity is being bespoke and standing out. And if you're going down the cheaper route, I'm not saying every time, but most of the time, you're going to get something that's very either templated or at least very similar to what others in that market are there. And obviously, you're not going to stand out then. But at the same time, you don't want to go too disruptive that people have no idea what you offer, what you your services that you bring to the table. So it's finding that balance between the two. There's a phrase out there that, you know, it's really difficult to get to certain levels of simplicity. And it really is. We work in a way that looks at this process. We look at the, you know, there might be more complex options, but we work them backwards. You know, we engineer them. So because your logo is something, it doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be too complex to someone's viewing it, because otherwise they're going to switch off and they're not going to take that on board. So, yeah, there's a lot more to it. My kind of process holds people's hands metaphorically through the process.
Yeah. And I've experienced your process a couple of times. I have to say it's really interesting way that you go about it. So how when we did the two book covers, in each case I had an idea, a rough idea of the sort of thing that I wanted. I have to say you then took both of those and created something way beyond my wildest imagination on those. It was brilliant. What if somebody comes to you and they just go, you know, Simon, I'd like a whatever, but I've absolutely no idea what I want. How would you go about that? About helping them with that?
Well, that's actually quite a common thing. I do get clients with a range from people coming in with a very precise breakdown of what they want. And then on the other hand, you've got people, like you say, that have no idea. And that's okay, because that's why I'm here for. And it just means adapting my process to understand more about the business. And by the way, just because someone comes to me with a complete plan of what they want doesn't necessarily mean that's a perfect situation either. Because obviously, like I said, mentioned earlier, they could be thinking along the lines of what they want to see rather than what they need customers to see. Yeah. Or potential customers to see. So I think in initial stages, I have a chat with people. I always find it's the most basic but most successful way of getting to know someone. And just from that initial chat, I kind of describe it as the cogs start turning. And I think I kind of, when I've chatted to people, I'm kind of getting the vibe that they're coming off with. I've seen their online stuff, do a bit of research / stalking. And just to really get under the under the cover a bit of what you are all about, what you want to be portraying, what you should be portraying. And I say then the kind of the cogs start turning. And yeah, I usually have a visual in my head of initially how things could work the best. And as part of my process, I'm never one of these people that will say, okay, well, I'm the expert. This is what you are having. You know, it's very much I put stuff in front of you and say, this is what I recommend. What are your thoughts? And then we work on that and develop that through the different stages until everyone's happy, really.
Nice, nice. Do you find, or how many sort of iterations do you find that you tend to need to go through? Is it a few? Is it loads? Or does it really vary from person to person?
It's a varying thing, trust me. Again, I've had people come to me and they've kind of been really hesitant, and I can tell when we've had a chat that they want to make some changes, and they're kind of, oh, I don't want to upset you, you know. And I'm like, well, you won't upset me. This is part of the process. I want the end product. I want you to be happy with it, of course, but I also want it to be able to benefit you and bring you the value that I know it can bring. So if I have a few clients that have worked with me a long time, we kind of know, I know their business, they know my process, the amends could be one round, could be two rounds. I've got other clients where it goes up to double figures. It depends on obviously how much, you said before, if people have got an idea in their head of what they like. I'm a firm believer that you don't know until you know. So that's why I'm very visual at each stage of my proofing process, because I want to put stuff in front of people. I don't want to just go, yeah, I've got this idea, do this, 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 this. What do you think? I want to show them. I want their feedback. I want their thoughts. And the people that do have the double figures, again, of amends, it's part of the process. And these people tend to be people who are not more invested in the project, because everyone's invested in the project, but they've kind of either got a marketing background, or they've had some kind of, you know, they've been there, done it with other businesses, and they just want a more hands-on approach, and that's absolutely fine. Equally, if people do trust my judgment, you know, and they go, yeah, we like that, it looks good to us, you're the expert, we leave it to you. So it depends, but again, I'm very adaptable as to the client and their needs and their level that they want of input. I think that's really important. Communication's a massive part of, it should be a massive part of any business process. Unfortunately, it's not in times. And I've seen people in the past create designs for their clients and kind of just go, there you go. And it just doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't work right for me. And it's not the most productive of scenarios.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean, and we're going to go and explore that in just a moment. But just before we do, could be featuring you. There are three different levels at which you can sponsor. We've got a bronze level, where you get to sponsor 1 month's worth of episodes of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. You get your advert played in this part of the show. You get mentioned in the show notes. And you also get mentioned in most of the social media promo for those episodes. Or we've got the silver level, where you get all of that, plus you get sponsorship of the 5-Minute Meditation podcast as well. So you get promoted in 8 lots of show notes, 8 lots of promos, and you get mentioned with a link on the sponsorship page on the website. Or there's the top one, the gold level, where you get all of that, plus you get a guest blog on the KeithBlakemoreNoble.com website, plus we'll record a special bonus episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show featuring you. 3 different levels, whichever one you want, it's up to you. Just go to KeithBlakemoreNoble.com/show/support to find out more. And you could be our next sponsor in this spot. There we go. Now, back again with my guest, Simon Clements, a creative designer. He's also my cover designer, which is why I'm thrilled to have him on here. We were speaking just before that, where we were speaking about the design process and iterations that you go through, etc. And you touched on something there, which I wanted to explore. You mentioned about how sometimes you'll get designers will basically simply go, right, here you go, there's your design, and that's it. One of the things that first attracted me to the way you work is, I've seen many creatives and designers who produce some really great work, but they very much have a house style, whether they're aware of it or not. You can look at them and go, oh, that was done by that person. Whereas I've seen various designs by you, and if you hadn't said, oh, these are examples of work that I've done, there's no way you'd go, oh, yeah, those are all Simon Clements designs. What do you think is your secret to success, as it were, that enables you to make sure there is no Simon Clements house style that underlies what you do?
Well, it's funny enough, I was having this conversation yesterday and someone said the very same thing to me. It's one of the nice, I get some lovely compliments and testimonials, and that's one of the things that really stands out for me. I think there's two reasons that I can think of straight away of why that happens. One is communication. I think I do take a lot of time out to be that kind of listener that people need. And I lead with questions. I get people to talk more than I do, because at the end of the day, it's their project. It's their project. Mm-hmm. I'm just the expert coming in to help them with that. And linked to that, the other way, and thank you for saying that, by the way, about the house style, or no, lack of house style. I think when it comes down to identity, we want stuff that's going to be individual, bespoke. You're not always going to get that with cheaper alternatives, let's say. It's taking that time to understand. And the main thing for me is, I've always been a massive introvert, or so let's say an introverted extrovert, because I'm mostly an introvert, but when I talk about what I love and what I'm passionate about and how it can help people and their value, then I can talk. So, but linked to the introversy, I think one thing that with my kind of the way I've always been, that linked to the process, is that I'm very much aware straight away. There's no ego attached. You know, this project isn't about me. It's not about me. So I'm not saying that people do have a house style or think it's just about them. But what my main goal is with any project I do is to give people the value they need, but also this individuality, this kind of it's got to work for them and it's got to work. I don't want people to say, oh, that's a Simon Clem project, because I want to be in the shadows in the background. I want to be, you know, a vital part of anyone's team, which is what I've become for a lot of people, you know. And but I am here from a consultancy point of view, from an application point of view. Like with your cover, you know, we went live before this to promote your new cover, and I am absolutely delighted for you, and I've been absolutely delighted to be part of the journey. I'm very aware it's your book, it's your cover, you know. I've worked with you, but it's your project. So that's it. It's me stepping back, and yes, I identify as a creative and identity expert. However, I'm also not trying to steal the spotlight, if that makes sense. I'm not going to be arrogant enough to say, this is definitely what you're going with. Pay me what you owe me. Because it's not, it to me, I see many people offering, not, and this even expands past creativity into other services. I see people treating services as an off-the-shelf product. Now, obviously, you've got service-based businesses and product-based businesses. With a product, you can say, okay, I need X product. You can go online, you can go in a shop, get it, give person money for it, off you go. Services and creativity in particular don't work like that. I think it's taking that extra time, it's taking that extra awareness and that consideration, that empathy, and like I say, the listening to get to know people. And I said it earlier, holding a hand through the process. Because for me as an expert, I want to get people where they need to be with my help, of course. But it's never, and I think from a client point of view as well, it's worth mentioning that with any service, a business service, but obviously for creativity, I'll talk about, because obviously it's what I do and it's my passion, is that I can give you the tools, I can give you the assets, I can give you the knowledge to take you further forward with your marketing, but I can't do it for you. So my kind of, I can give you this stuff, but at the same time, you, for example, if I did a flyer or brochure or something, you would need to promote that yourself. You would need to take that on your, you know, your list of responsibilities. Of course, I will be in the background for aftercare support, any advice, etc. But an analogy I often use is my little boy. He when he does swimming lessons, you know, I'm on the side and I can be his biggest cheerleader, but I can't do the actual work in the pool for him. And I think that's the way I've kind of described it in the past. I think from like a consultancy and coaching point of view, I don't consider myself as a coach, but obviously thinking back now, when I am working with people in projects, that's effectively what I'm doing. I am coaching them from a visibility point of view, the best out of their marketing assets.
Yeah, no, that's a really good way to look at it. I've not really thought of it that way, but yeah. That does make sense. That does make sense. You are, as you say, coaching them on how to maximize the return on their their assets. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about this for a lot longer. I know there's lots of love to ask. We are running out of time. Just before we wrap it up, one final question. At what point in a business's life do you feel become something that ought to be looked at? I mean, we where I'm coming from is, I know we can probably all think of people who've decided, right, I'm going to set myself up in business, I'm going to create a lovely logo, do all this sort of stuff, and then they wonder why, hang on, I've got no business, because they hadn't actually been looking at finding clients and customers and offering their services. So obviously branding is important. At what stage during a company's life do you feel one should give attention to branding, or is it something that can kind of just knock something up really quickly to start with and then evolve it as we grow? What's the best approach, do you feel, Simon?
That's quite a common question in certain ways. But I think there's two takeaways from what you've said there. The importance of branding as a whole is very important. You need to get that sorted before, ideally before you start a business. But people often think it's just a business. You know, it could be a new product, like, you know, like your book. It could be a service. It could be, you know, a retreat or a course or something they're doing. You can brand your individual products within your business. I think you need to look at the importance of branding early on in a business. Is that where you would come to someone like me? Probably not, mainly due to budget concerns. I think if someone's got an established business and they're setting up a second business, if you can afford it, go to a brand identity professional to help you with it. But I also understand that in the early days, that's not an option. So it's always better to have something out there than nothing. So if you need to go down the Fiverr route or the Canva route or whatever you're doing, and that's another way I work, I'm never going to say you are wrong in doing that. I think where I would come in is when you've established a business over so many years, you've got a bit more of a budget, and you want to go to the next level. I think there's businesses out there that are very established, and they've been going for a while, but they've got the branding that they started with, and it's probably not serving them anymore. So that's obviously where someone like myself would come in as a consultancy role to say, okay, right, this is where you are. Yes, you're doing okay, but this is where you, what you could be doing if you sorted your brand and your brand messaging out.
I get you. Yeah. So basically, when you start, don't spend too much time and money on obsessing about branding. Just get something there, placeholder, so you can get going. And then once you've built the business up, then speak to someone like to refresh it and come up with a branding that works for where the business is now and where it wants to go.
It's like another small analogy I've just thought of is like Apple Mac computers. You know, we know they're very expensive, but we know they're very reliable. They're very, you know, they'll last you a long time. Branding is very similar. If you can't afford it in the early days, then don't stress on it. If, of course, you get a grant or you are, you know, you come from, you have the funds, or whether you start a second business, then it might be an option to speak to someone such as myself earlier on. But I also understand and very empathetic in the fact that that's not for everyone. I try to give advice that can be for everyone. So obviously from that early stage, you could pick up some kind of things that you need to be doing that aren't going to cost you any money. More like kind of not rules, but kind of guidelines to work to. But yeah, don't over obsess about it in the early days. But whatever brand you do put out there, you need to invest yourself in it and you need to get it everywhere. So consistency and awareness of a brand initially is what you need.
Makes absolute sense. Simon, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy life. Because I know you've got a lot going on. Thank you so much for taking some time out to share that sort of insight into what goes into branding and how we can all apply it in whatever stages we're at. Simon, for people to find out a bit more, maybe check out a bit of your work or even get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
First port of call would be my website, which is simonclementscreative.co.uk. Everything is in there. There are examples of work. There's about my process, things I've discussed today, and a lot more. And all the other contact details, such as my social channels and that, can be found as well. So that's probably where I would head for anyone wanting to find out more.
Brilliant. So head over to simonclementscreative.co.uk, find out a lot more about him. Simon is, of course, as you'd imagine, he's all over the socials. You'll find his links in there, or you'll find them in the show notes for this episode, keithblakemore.com/show. Look for the one with Simon Clements, and in there we've got links to all of his profiles. Simon, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Keith. Really enjoyed it.
My pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for joining us on this. If you liked it, please do remember to give us a like, a comment, a share, a subscribe. Give us a review. These all help to spread the word. And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've done. I hope you've got as much out of it as I've got. And I look forward to catching you again in another episode very soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.